Welcome to episode number 7 of the AFTV Newscast, being recorded September 18th, 2015. It's a big, huge Fire TV week of, you know, craziness. We got a new Fire TV, some new remotes, some new controllers, whole bunch of news. I'll be covering them all in exquisite detail in this podcast slash live stream. You can, if you don't watch live, you can always catch it after the fact on YouTube or through my RSS feed on the podcast and iTunes and all that good stuff. I record and stream live every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Thank you if you guys can get in live. You can tweet me live questions, you know, if you have a question about something I'm covering or something I mentioned during the episode and you're watching live, you can tweet at AFTV News. And I'll see that come up, and hopefully I'll be able to get to your questions. After I cover all the news for Fire TV stuff, I'll cover a little bit of kind of streaming device news, a little Chromecast news, a little bit of Apple TV news this week also. And then I'll move into questions, answering questions. There's a whole bunch of questions, so probably be a bit of a long episode, but hey, it's a crazy week, so it's kind of expected. All right, first up, obviously huge news. New Fire TV has been announced. So yesterday morning, Amazon announced the new 4K Fire TV comes with Alexa voice control. I'll go over the features right now, kind of bullet point them, and then I'll probably go into more detail on each one. I have different articles, different posts kind of laying out other things you should know other than just the bullet point list. So the new Fire TV, like I said, is a 4K device. I'll go into details on what that means and what about it is 4K and what isn't. It's not completely a all the time 4K device. It has a quad-core 2 gigahertz MediaTek processor. There's a PowerVR GX 6250 GPU that's very similar to the one that's in the new Apple TV, just ever so slightly weaker, but should be really good for gaming. Same 2 gigabyte RAM as the previous model, which should be plenty. I know everybody wants more RAM, but 2 gigabytes on this kind of device is more than enough. What probably isn't more than enough is the 8 gigabyte internal storage. So we didn't get a bump up there, but thankfully Amazon has included a micro SD slot in this new generation Fire TV. Now with that, you can put in up to a 128 gigabyte card. That's the official supported card size. But I have a feeling that we'll probably be able to put larger cards in the future if we want. There's still a USB port on the back, but it's unclear right now whether the USB port can be used for external storage or not. I'll get into this in a little bit in a little bit more detail later on in the episode, but we'll see there. We got a bump up to 802.11ac wireless, so that's a nice upgrade over the 802.11n in the existing Fire TV. Unfortunately, the audio port was dropped, so the new Fire TV device looks pretty much identical to the old Fire TV. The new one is a little bit lighter than the old one, probably due to not needing such a massive heatsink. The overall dimensions are the same, the overall case is the same, and so the micro SD slot pretty much took up where the old optical audio out port was. So that's a bit of a shame, but I bet people would probably be using the micro SD slot more than they'd be using optical audio. But you audiophiles out there, I'm sure, are kind of bummed about that one. Well, the new device is $99.99, about 99 cents more expensive than the old one. So along with the new Fire TV, a new Fire game controller was announced. I'll get into that again in more detail. Here's a quick shot of it for those of you watching instead of just listening. So the new Fire controller is $49.99, and there's a new gaming bundle that includes the Fire TV, the new game controller, a 32 gigabyte micro SD card, as well as two games. Those two games are Shovel Knights and DuckTales Remastered, I believe. The Fire TV gaming bundle is $139.99. Big thing to realize, though, is that it does not come with the voice remote that comes with the regular Fire TV $99 bundle. Along with the new Fire TV, a new Fire TV stick bundle was announced. So Amazon is now bundling a brand new voice remote, which again, I'll get into more detail about this new remote and how it's different from the existing one. So there's a new voice remote that is bundled with the Fire TV Stick. You can get that bundle for $49.99, $10 more than with the non-voice remote. So that's an easy decision there, especially since the Fire TV Stick and the Fire TV both will have Alexa capabilities built in. So there's a lot more reason to want a voice remote now as opposed to just, you know, searching for content. So as I mentioned, the new game controller that was announced, it's completely, I'm told, built, you know, rebuilt from the ground up. It's not just a slight revision of the old controller. It was a completely new team even who worked on this new controller. And I'm told I haven't used it myself yet, but I'm told it's really nice, really, really premium, a lot closer to kind of the feel of the Xbox 360, Xbox One controller. That's kind of what they were going for, it seems like. Definitely more ergonomic, doesn't have the flat front as the old controller had. Huge new feature on this new game controller is a headphone jack. So at the very bottom center, there's a 3.5 millimeter headphone plug, and you can plug in headphones and listen to anything the Fire TV is outputting, whether games or movies, you know, and just have wireless private listening through this controller. Also new on this controller is the microphone. There's a microphone for Alexa and voice search capabilities. You didn't have that on the old controller. So the new controller is, like I said, $49.99. That's $10 bump from the previous one. But you figure with the audio jack and the new microphone, that's probably where that $10 went. Seems like it's well worth it. It's a bit, you know, a bit pricey when it's half the price of the Fire TV itself. Of course, the Fire TV still works with third-party Bluetooth controllers. So if you didn't want to, you know, pay the $50 and just want to do a little casual gaming, you can get a $15, $20 third-party controller, and that'll work just fine with the Fire TV. So both this controller and the new voice remotes are Wi-Fi based instead of Bluetooth. First of all, the main reason they went with that is for battery consumption. So these new Wi-Fi based controllers and remotes will use a lot less battery power. I think the Amazon is quoting 12 months on two AA's for the voice remote. That's pretty crazy. That's pretty nice. This new game controller will go, sorry, on two AAA's for the voice remote. This new game controller will go 90 hours of solid straight gameplay on two AA's if you're not using the audio jack. And I believe it's 24 hours of solid gameplay if you are using the audio jack. So that's a nice improvement over the previous one. Also with Wi-Fi, the new Wi-Fi connection comes better latency. So, you know, when you hit that button, it'll reflect on the TV a lot quicker than with the previous one. Not to say that the previous Bluetooth controller was sluggish or noticeably laggy, but hey, every reduction of latency is definitely appreciated. So if you buy this $49.99 new controller right now, you'll get DuckTales Remastered. That's one of the games that comes in the gaming bundle. So you won't get both of the games. You won't get Shovel Knight if you just buy the controller. So Shovel Knight is a $15 game. The DuckTales is a $10 game. So if you factor that in, that's a nice extra little deal you get with either the game controller or with the bundle. So moving on into some more detailed information about the new device and the new hardware. First thing I wanted to write about was the 4K feature. So the new Fire TV supports 4K, a resolution of 3840 by 2160. The one thing about the new 4K capabilities of the new Fire TV, is that at 4K resolution, the Fire TV is only capable of doing 30 frames per second. Now at 1080p resolution, just like the old Fire TV, the device is capable of doing 60 frames per second. That's important because it means that the new Fire TV will essentially only put out video in 4K. You can't really play apps or play games in 4K. Now that doesn't mean there won't be other video apps that can put out 4K. For example, Netflix is expected to release their 4K content onto this new Fire TV, and they will definitely be able to output in 4K. But the interface of the app will not be in 4K, just like the interface of the Fire TV will not be in 4K. Those will be in 1080p output at 60 frames per second. Now, the main reason for that is because to support full 4K 60 frames per second, you Amazon would have had to put in much beefier hardware and probably wouldn't have been able to come in at that $100 price point. in this article, I point out that it's actually a good thing, I think, that Amazon is only doing video at 30 frames per second in 4K. The big downside to this approach is that when the new Fire TV plays a 4K video, you're going to get a resolution switch, and that's going to cause the screen to go black for a few seconds, and then the video will come up. Now, the amount of time that it takes to do that switch is pretty heavily dependent on how quickly your TV can make the switch. So if you kind of look at your TV and switch inputs, if that takes a long time, then you're probably going to hit play on a 4K video on this new Fire TV, see the black screen for a little bit as if you were changing inputs, and then the 4K video will appear. Bit of a bummer there for sure, but not a huge hassle. Now, when the video stops and you go back to the Fire TV interface or the app interface or whatever, you're going to see that switch again because the resolution has to change on the device. If this device did 4K at 60 frames per second, you're not going to be doing gaming at that resolution because, you know, even the main consoles, the Xbox One, the PlayStation 4, they can't do gaming at that resolution. So really, the only thing you would have gained out of 60 frames per second on the new Fire TV is displaying interfaces and some, you know, less CPU, GPU intensive apps at 60 frames per second, like maybe photos or I said weather. In my opinion, I'd rather have a less expensive device than just have those extra few 4K capabilities, you know, because video is where you're going to need 4K the most, and that's where this new Fire TV is capable of doing it and can do video. So quick note about the USB port on the back of the Fire TV, the new Fire TV, that is. So Amazon's developer portal has kind of a spec sheet for the three devices, the new Fire TV, the existing Fire TV, and the Fire TV Stick. Two of the points on that are USB and external storage. And interestingly enough, the new Fire TV says the USB port is, quote, for accessories only. And then on the external storage line, it has micro SD up to 128 gigabyte listed for external storage, whereas the old Fire TV says the USB port is for accessories and storage, and the external storage lists only USB. So that doesn't necessarily mean that the USB port on the back of the new Fire TV will not work for external storage. I've kind of pinged my sources over at Amazon. They're going to get back to me once they get a chance to figure out what's the deal with the USB port. It's definitely possible that it'll also support storage. It seems like they're pushing the micro SD card as storage because they don't want people to get confused by both. So the verdict's still out on that. I'll definitely be updating or posting once I get more information on that, but just something to keep in mind. One thing I speculated with this micro SD / USB setup is that it's possible that plugging in a micro SD card into the new Fire TV will completely replace that / SD card directory that's on the internal drive. So the existing Fire TV has a / SD card directory on the internal storage, and that's where all your apps essentially store their files. For example, Grand Theft Auto games, when you download that little tiny app, that little tiny game, the first thing it does is it downloads over 2 terabytes. Sorry, 2 terabytes, over 2 gigabytes of data files for the game because it needs that to run, and that's where it puts it. It puts in that / SD card directory. So it's possible by switching over to a true SD card, you'll be able to put all of your games onto that, whereas the new Fire TV is kind of the USB port's a little crippled because, or not as usable, because you can't move all of the app's data files onto the USB port. You can only move some of them, but hopefully this new micro SD slot will be able to move all of your files. Again, once I get more information on that, I will definitely post about it, share it with you guys. So let's move on to the new voice remote. Now, something that Amazon is not really telling anyone and likely will never tell people is that the new voice remote that comes with the new Fire TV and the one that comes with the bundle are two different remotes. They look pretty much identical, but they're slightly different. Functionally, they're the same remotes. But I'm told the remote that comes with the Fire TV Stick bundle is made of slightly, you know, poorer materials. So it's a little less expensive for Amazon to make, and they kind of made that decision in order to get that bundle price down, you know, to $50. Amazon will probably only list one remote, but they will be slightly different. It doesn't sound like they're very different. It sounds like it's a very slight change, you know, just a little different type of plastic maybe, that kind of thing. But functionally inside, they're expected to be the same. So Amazon is selling a voice remote right now still, but that's the old Bluetooth-based voice remote. This new voice remote is Wi-Fi based. And again, that's mainly for battery consumption. It'll use a lot less power than the existing Bluetooth-based remote. Amazon hasn't listed this new remote separately for sale. They're only listing the old Bluetooth remote. I have a feeling that they're waiting to run out of stock of those old remotes before they start selling this new one. So for those of you who are buying the gaming bundle, I recommend, since it doesn't come with a voice remote, if you're looking to get a voice remote, I recommend waiting to see if Amazon lists this remote separately as opposed to buying, for example, the old Bluetooth-based voice remote. Now, I wrote up a little kind of list of all the different remotes that exist now for the Fire TV, kind of all on one page, listing the specs, listing what bundle they were sold in, what bundles they're being sold with, just to kind of give you a good overview of what exists. So we've got the first generation voice remote. That's the one that shipped with the Fire TV, also shipped with the original first generation Fire TV gaming bundle. Then we've got the non-voice remote. That's the one that shipped with the Fire TV stick when that first came out. Now we have the new second generation voice remote. There's two models of those, one codenamed Gelato, one codenamed Bane. They're like I said, pretty much identical except for slightly different build. So both of these new remotes are Wi-Fi based, like I said, whereas the previous two remotes that existed are Bluetooth based. Then you've also got still the Fire TV remote app for Android and iPhone, iOS devices. All new and all existing old Fire TVs will pretty much work with all remotes. The new voice remotes will work with the old Fire TV and the existing Fire TV stick once those devices get Fire OS 5, which I'll talk about in a little bit. The old remotes will work on the new Fire TVs via Bluetooth, on the new Fire TV, that is, via Bluetooth. So it's not limited to only Wi-Fi based remotes. As far as game controllers, the new game controller will work on the old devices and the new ones, and old game controller will work on both devices. So everything works on everything. The only exception, there's one small exception. The audio jack on the new game controller only works with the new Fire TV. So that private listening, if you want to put headphones, plug those into the game controller, that's not going to work on the old Fire TV or the Fire TV stick. So that's the only exception. Other than that, Amazon actually did a pretty great job of just making everything work with everything. So again, going through the list of controllers, first generation game controller that was announced along with the first generation Fire TV was sold in a bundle and sold separately. And then, of course, you've got the new game controller. Quick note on the micro SD slot. So SanDisk has made official, quote, official made for Amazon micro SD cards. They're listed. I'll put a link in the show notes. You can find them on Amazon. So these cards are the only ones that are tested and certified to work with the Fire TV and the tablets. Actually, they're Class 10 cards. So it looks like that micro SD slot is capable of some decent speeds. These cards are rated at up to 40 megabytes per second, I believe it is. I don't know if that micro SD slot is capable of speeds that high, but the fact that these cards are Class 10 is pretty good. You're probably going to want a decently fast card if you're running apps and games off of it, just so that there aren't any slow load times. All Fire TV devices have just had stars and Encore search results, voice search results added to them. Amazon has also said that at least 10 more services are going to be added to the Fire TV's voice search capabilities. Both the new and previous Fire TVs are capable of doing, I believe it's HBO, Showtime, Crackle, Hulu. I know I'm forgetting some. Vivo, I believe. You know, there are a list of services that will come up when you do the voice search. Now, the nice thing is, it's actually not just voice search. It's when you're actually browsing through Amazon's library. If those companies like Showtime or HBO have told Amazon that their content is available within their app, that will show up as an alternate either buying option or viewing option when you're browsing the library. So it's nice. Even if you don't use voice search too much, it's nice to have these more, you know, more services be built in. So some of the new services that are going to come into voice search include A&E, History, Lifetime, and PBS. So there's four there. We should see at least six more. The big question is Netflix, of course. Netflix is still not part of the Fire TV's voice search. Hopefully, with any luck, when Netflix brings 4K video to the Fire TV, we'll also see voice search for Netflix. That's kind of my guess there. The Netflix CEO, back when the original Fire TV was announced, said that they would be bringing voice search to the Fire TV, or they would be integrating their catalog with the Fire TV's voice search. That hasn't happened yet, unfortunately, but you know, I'm sure Amazon is working with Netflix right now to bring their 4K content to the Fire TV. And once that happens, I would expect voice search integration to come along with it. Existing Fire TV owners will be happy to hear that Fire OS 5 along with Alexa will arrive in a software update for existing Fire TVs and Fire TV sticks. We're expecting this update to come early October. So the new Fire TV will ship with Fire OS 5 and Alexa, of course, and that will arrive October 5th. So I expect right around that time, we're going to see the update for Fire OS on all devices. This is similar to what happened with the Fire TV stick. When the Fire TV stick was announced, it had unique features that were not on the Fire TV. One, for example, I think Prime Music was one of those features. And so as soon as the Fire TV stick was announced, existing Fire TVs got a software update and had those new features added. I gotta give props to Amazon for including Alexa on old devices. You know, it's something that's going to be overlooked, but you know, they could have easily said Alexa was only a next generation feature and you had to buy a new Fire TV to get Alexa, but they didn't, luckily. Moving on to some app news for the Fire TV. Like I said previously, Shovel Knight is coming to the Fire TV, and it's a bit of an exclusive. It's not that it's not coming to any other devices ever, it's just that it's coming to the Fire TV first. And it looks like, you know, usually when you see big game titles come to the Fire TV first, it's because Amazon has kind of worked with the developer to bring it to the Fire TV and kind of, you know, make it only available on the Fire TV before making it available on other devices. So Shovel Game, it's a great game. It's a, you know, you could say it's a retro game, but that's kind of cutting it short, I think, because, well, it has retro styles and is definitely a lot like the old kind of great NES side-scrolling platform games. It's definitely a unique game all on its own. You should check it out. Existing Fire TVs can install and run the game. It's not just on the new Fire TV. So this is one of the games that comes with the Fire TV bundle, the new gaming bundle, and it also comes with a new remote. So definitely check that out if you're looking for some new gaming action. Other big games coming to the Fire TV are Final Fantasy V and Final Fantasy VI. So these are old games that have been ported over to so many different systems, and now they're making their way over to the Fire TV. Considered one of the best RPGs of their time, and you know, they hold up pretty well. So if you're looking to get some retro RPG action, you can check those out. Of course, you can find links to all of these games in the show notes. So this was interesting. The day before the Fire TV was announced, we saw about a little over 250 tablet-based games made available to the Fire TV. Now, those who have been following Fire TV news for a while will probably remember last year when Amazon started a bit of a beta program where you can play tablet games on the Fire TV with the game controller. So essentially, you control a little cursor on the screen with the joystick on the game controller. And so there have been a few games that work with this, and now Amazon kind of just dropped a whole bunch of them, probably in preparation for the new Fire TV announcement. Some really good titles, you know, a lot of good defense, tower defense type games I noticed. Field Runners, for example. Those are kind of a genre that I really like. And if you guys like them, you can definitely look through that, the list of apps, and you'll find some new ones. So Amazon announced that some new apps would be making their way to the Fire TV platform. Those are Fox Now, FX Now, Poker Central, and Turner Classic Movies. So some four new content apps coming to the Fire TV. My guess, these apps are going to be subscription, cable subscription based, so you'll have to unlock them with a cable subscription. But still, getting the cable subscription version is kind of one step towards getting the a la carte version, so it's nice to see these apps coming to the Fire TV. No word exactly on when these apps are going to arrive, but hopefully soon. They just said before the year's over. Moving into non-Fire TV news, just before we go into questions and answers. So along with the new Fire TV, Amazon released a whole refresh of pretty much all of their tablets, nearly all their tablets. Big news, they released a new $50 7-inch tablet. So this was pretty crazy. I mean, I was expecting this to be a 6-inch tablet, but no, it's a 7-inch. You know, like as far as a device, you can chuck this around and not be too worried about it breaking, but it seems like a very capable device. Along with that, there's a kids edition of the tablet. So for an extra $50, total of $100, you can get the kids edition, which comes with a 2-year worry-free warranty. So if you do chuck it around and break it, they'll totally replace it for free. Also is a Fire HD 8, so a new 8-inch tablet. It's one of their thinnest, or if not the thinnest one they've ever had. $150, got a decent camera on the back, 5 megapixel, 1080p video. Another thing to mention, all of these tablets now have micro SD slots. So we saw that kind of leak on the FCC documents, but this is for the first time all of Amazon's tablets come with micro SD card slots. So you can install Kodi on these tablets, chuck in a huge micro SD card, and, you know, have hours and hours of content available. Probably the best one for viewing Kodi would be the Fire HD 10, which is their new 10-inch tablet. So this is the largest tablet they've ever had. I think previously it was the HDX 8.9-inch. So now they've bumped that up another inch, getting close to the iPad range, but for roughly half the price of the iPad, only $230. You can find links for all these tablets if you want to check them out in the show notes. I'll include that, but a nice little refresh. Definitely notable is the lack of kind of higher-end tablets. So the HDX line, which is Amazon's premium line of tablets, did not get a refresh and is kind of getting played down. I think you could still buy them, the old HDX tablets, but they're definitely not front and center anymore. So Amazon definitely seems like they're pushing the lower end kind of more affordable tablets as opposed to the higher end iPad competing tablets. So I kind of welcome that. These tablets, you know, personally, I use them mostly for, you know, watching videos and browsing the web. So you really don't need too much horsepower, you know, for if you're doing a lot of reading, you'll kind of want that higher res screen. But, you know, Amazon's got their Kindle line for that. So, you know, I kind of welcome these lower end, good quality, but very affordable tablets. Now moving into really non-Amazon news, but still kind of relevant to the Fire TV. Definitely, I know you guys are interested in competing devices and what the landscape is like. So just today, actually, we heard from 9to5 Google that they got hold of some internal documents that a new Chromecast is going to be announced at the end of the month. So Google will be holding an event on the 29th where we expect them to release the new Nexus phones. There's going to be two Nexus phones, I believe. And so this new Chromecast is going to also be announced. We don't know too much about it. Seems like just a slight upgrade from the existing one. I don't think it's going to come with a remote. I think it's still going to be very heavily smartphone controlled. But it looks like they've got some fast play feature that will let people connect to the Chromecast a lot quicker to kind of watch media. There's apparently a new Android audio feature, which you're going to be able to connect the Chromecast through a 3.5mm audio jack to speakers so that you can play music through the Chromecast into a speaker system as opposed to through your TV. And I think they're planning to sync that amongst different Chromecasts. So if you have different speakers, multiple speakers in different rooms, you can hook each one up to a Chromecast and use it as basically like a syncing receiver. So that's kind of cool. On the Apple TV front, we got just a little word that Apple changed their kind of developer guidelines. So now they're forcing developers to support the new touch-based, motion-based remote for all games. They're not going to let developers release games that require a game controller. And I think personally this cripples the gaming potential on the new Apple TV. The Fire TV welcomes, you know, more complex games that need a game controller. The touchpad, while it's nice on the new Apple TV remote, is still limiting. You know, sure, it can replace like a D-pad, but, you know, when you need kind of more buttons, a second joystick, for example, you're going to need a full game controller for that. And so Apple TV looks like big titles may not make their way over to the new Apple TV because of this. Lastly, on the non-Fire TV news is that the NVIDIA Shield had a little mini recall. So the Shield Pro Nvidia Shield is kind of one of the Fire TV's biggest competitors. I know a lot of people who have Fire TVs also bought Nvidia Shields. And so if you bought the 500 gigabyte version, that's the pro version, you'll want to pay close attention when you're updating to, what is it, version 1.4 of their OS. If you notice their fast boot screen appear or you notice pixelation at the top, it means you've definitely got a hard drive issue and you'll want to contact Amazon to get your device replaced. So let's move on to your questions and answers. There's looks like there's a whole bunch of them. You can chime in on Twitter, of course, right now live if you're watching. All right, first question from Mike. Will there be exclusives for the new Fire TV? I just hope to see that power put to use. Definitely, I think so. I've spoken to some of the Amazon App Store team, and they talk to developers all the time. They try to get developers over onto the Fire TV, and even get big new games over onto the Fire TV first. So I definitely expect to see new exclusives and even more gaming, more apps on the new Fire TV. Bill says, "What is the future of the higher level tablets at Amazon?" Huh, we just spoke about that. Like the HDX 7 inch, HDX 8.9. They disappeared from some of the Amazon pages showing their family of tablets Thursday morning, but then started to reappear after a few hours. The $50 discount, which was scheduled to run into October for the 8.9, also disappeared for a few hours, with the price showing as $479 only to be reinstated late in the day. Marketer gone wild. Yeah, I wouldn't pay too much attention to what Amazon's website's doing just before or just after a big announcement. You know, a lot of changes go into place. Then that's kind of why, for example, Apple just brings down their entire store just before or during announcements. But if you see items disappear and reappear or prices change here and there, you know don't read into that too much. You know, Amazon can't take down their entire Amazon store just to announce a few new hardware devices. But as far as those tablets, yeah, I definitely think Amazon is playing them down and they're probably going to disappear for a little while at least. There's rumors that Amazon is working on, I believe, a 14-inch tablet, I think the size was. You know, Apple just released that new iPad Pro with a nice big screen, I think a 12-inch screen. So I think Amazon will release a larger, higher-end tablet, but I don't think they'll be pushing it, you know, as much as their lower expensive tablets. Ray says, being that the new Fire TV has equal RAM as the original and is running a MediaTek system on a chip instead of a new Qualcomm, is it really worth the upgrade? MediaTek doesn't perform as good as Qualcomm system on a chips, I know from mobile phones, and the Fire TV 1 is the best Android box I've had. He says, had various Minix and other brands running MediaTek, Allwinner, etc. Especially for Kodi, he says, and at the end of the day, I reckon 90% of Fire TV owners use Kodi for all their viewing needs. So I ask, is the upgrade really worthwhile? If so, why? I definitely don't think 90% of Fire TV owners use Kodi for all of their needs. That's probably the case for the people listening to this and fans of AFTV News. I know you guys are heavy Kodi users, just like I am. But you got to remember that Amazon sold hundreds of thousands of Fire TVs and Fire TV sticks. And I think the vast majority of those people will never be using Kodi on those devices. Kodi is a great piece of software, but most people don't have their own library. The market's going towards streaming. You know, people are buying less Blu-rays and they're just happy either renting and streaming their movies or buying them off Amazon or iTunes, that sort of stuff. I wouldn't be too worried about the chip. You know, it's definitely not a huge upgrade from the old one, but you got to remember the first generation Fire TV, when it came out, it was a beast. You know, that hardware spec that's what attracted me to it the most. I mean, 2 gigabytes of RAM a year ago on a set-top box was pretty big. And I remember an Amazon executive was quoted saying that he expects the original Fire TV to last 2-3 years with consumers at least. So definitely there is not a big reason to upgrade. You know, 4K is by far the biggest reason to upgrade, you know. But thankfully, as far as features go, software features, Amazon's bringing all of those to the existing Fire TV. So if you don't need 4K, there's really not much reason to upgrade. There isn't huge reason to upgrade unless you really need that 4K. But you know, at $100, it's more for new people who haven't gotten the Fire TV and who are looking for that higher end device. That's the market for this new device. So Dan says, I'm a little surprised the new remote doesn't have personal listening like Roku. It looks like personal listening is available on the game controller. Do you see this feature being added? Is it possible with the app based remote? I don't see it being added in the future. I don't think Amazon is going to put out a new remote, for example, that has private listening capabilities. It's a shame they didn't add it, but I think it's part of them wanting to get the keep the device at $100. You know, all those little extra features, they add up quickly. And so it's nice to have it in the game controller at least. I don't think you're going to be able to do it with the app, the Fire TV Remote app. You can still connect Bluetooth headphones to the Fire TV, so you've got that for private listening also in addition to the game controller. So it's not like there are no options for private listening, they just decided not to put it in the remote. Jeremy says, what about HDMI 2.0a and HDR support? So yeah, the new Fire TV is a HDMI 1.4 device. So HDMI 1.4 brings in 4K capabilities at 30 frames per second. HDMI 2.0 brings in support for 4K resolutions at 60 frames per second. And then this HDMI 2.0a is what brings in HDR support, and HDR is for high dynamic range. It's not going to be on this current Fire TV, this new Fire TV, and frankly I don't think it needs to be, because really, I mean, Samsung makes like two or three TVs that support HDR. I know Vizio has a couple, Sony just announced a couple. There are so few HDR TVs and even less HDR content. You know, 4K right now is still making ground, and you know, HDR is just too early, so I'm not surprised Amazon didn't include it in the new Fire TV. Maybe something for the next generation, but you know, there's just not enough TVs or content in HDR yet. Hey Radar says, is there a way for Fire TV to not turn off the screen? I tried turning on the screensaver, but the screen still eventually goes black. It causes my family to forget to turn off the TV since there isn't a picture on the screen. That's funny. No, sorry. There isn't a way to not have the screen turn off. To that, I say contact Amazon. Honestly, let them know. Feature requests, I know for a fact, go straight to, well, not straight to, but eventually make their way over to the Fire TV team. They do listen to those. They do read them. And they rank features that they're working on based on what people are asking for. You know, the first generation Fire TV got USB storage pretty much because people were asking for it. If that's a feature you want, you should definitely contact Amazon, go through their contact page, and that stuff gets to developers eventually and will hopefully, you know, could be added if that's something you want to be able to have it stay on all the time. Wes says, voice control with Echo. And then Geronimo adds, I have the same question because now I have to move my Echo away from my Fire TV if I want to use Alexa on the Fire TV. I really don't want to change the wake word to Amazon. Any thoughts on Amazon having a solution? Yeah, I haven't heard of anything solution-wise. I don't think you're going to be able to control the Fire TV with your Echo. That would be really nice, actually. But, you know, one step at a time. The Alexa capabilities that are coming on the Fire TV with Fire OS 5 are a little more limited than full-blown Echo. I've been told from my sources at Amazon that before the year's over, we should see a software update that expands the Alexa capabilities on the Fire TV. So right now you're kind of just getting the kind of informative things that Alexa can do. It can show you weather, it can show you sports scores information, it can look things up, that sort of stuff. It's not being fully integrated into the Fire TV's media library, for example. You're not going to be able to use Alexa to search for movies and that sort of stuff. So that's the kind of features that I expect to come later in the year. And maybe with that, we'll see voice control kind of from Echo to the Fire TV. I kind of doubt it, but it would be pretty cool. Like you can't, with the Alexa features, you can't use Alexa to launch an app, I believe, right now. But those are the kind of features that I expect to see before the year's out with the next kind of Alexa update. So the guys over at Amazon are definitely working on that from what I'm told. Oh, and I don't know about a solution to having the Echo next to your Fire TV or in the same vicinity. The nice thing is that, you know, when you're using Alexa on the Fire TV, you're speaking into the remote, so you don't have to be as loud. Depending on the location where you're sitting, you can still potentially talk to the remote and Alexa on the Fire TV without triggering the Echo. Geronimo says, or asks, how did you find out that the remotes for the Fire TV Stick and Fire TV are different? Also, do you think Amazon will start selling the new remotes separately? I feel like they don't have enough, so they didn't include them in the gaming edition. Yeah, no, I don't think it's that they don't have enough. So the way I found out is I have sources that work for Amazon that I'm in touch with here and there, and they're the ones who told me. You know, Amazon is definitely playing that down. They're not, you know, rightfully they're not letting people kind of know that the two remotes are different, just so that there's no confusion about which remote you're getting, which, you know, and why are there different ones. you know, it's just that they want to save a little money on the Fire TV stick because that one is, you know, costs half the price of the Fire TV. So that's why there are the two remotes. I think they'll eventually be selling it separately, but like I said before, they probably want to get rid of their current stock of the old first generation voice remotes before they start selling the new one. So I'm sure we'll see the new one soon. Turd Ferguson writes and says, will remotes be interchangeable among different version types, old versus new, stick versus box? Any reason to believe audio pass-through on the new box will pass through HD audio, DTSMA, True Audio, or PCM? Does the change in the main chip type have implications for apps like SPMC, or is it just a matter of packaging for Android rather than for a given chip type? Thanks. So, like I mentioned previously, for the remotes, everything works on everything. It's pretty awesome that Amazon did that. So everything's interchangeable. The only thing, like I said, that doesn't work is the new game controller's audio jack does not work on first generation Fire TV and Fire TV stick. Other than that, all the remotes work on all the devices, new or old. I know the Fire TV, both existing and new, are capable of audio pass-through. I don't know this DTSMA and True HD specifically. I'm not too familiar with those. As far as SPMC, which is, for those who don't know, a variant of Kodi, kind of an offshoot of Kodi, I think the bigger question, not with the chip, is, you know, compatibility with the chip is with FireOS 5. So it's possible when FireOS 5 first comes out, Kodi and SPMC will not be fully compatible, depending on whether their developers are on top of the developer preview for FireOS 5. But I'm sure, you know, both those developers are awesome and will get things working eventually. So I wouldn't be too worried about the new chip or new FireOS 5 being compatible with Kodi and SPMC. It'll probably come eventually. That's the beauty of being open source. So even if the developers don't get on it themselves, other people can kind of chime in and figure out what's wrong. Khan Lee on Twitter asks, does FireOS 5, the Pathfinder says 10/100 Ethernet port listed for the new Fire TV, why not a gigabit Ethernet port? Main reason is you don't need it. You know, the main reason to have gigabit Ethernet on a device like the Fire TV is if you wanted to transfer your own files over the network, you know, you'll do a little quicker speed. But as far as streaming goes, I mean, even 4K at 30 frames per second does not, you know, come close to 100 megabits per second. It's you know, it's not even half of that. So you totally do not need gigabit Ethernet for streaming, and that's pretty much what the device is primarily made for. Obviously, gigabit Ethernet would have been nice for, you know, for those who have maybe a big fat hard drive connected to the Fire TV, but it's not a feature the general population of Fire TV owners will probably ever want or use or need. So that's why, you know, it's a cost-saving thing. That's probably why they didn't include that. John Chu says, do you plan to add any other shopping options such as B&H besides Amazon? I think by you mean Amazon. Just in case it's not clear, I'm not affiliated with Amazon. I don't work for them. My site is not an Amazon site. So as far as Amazon adding other shopping options, I think John Chu is asking whether you'll be able to buy the Fire TV from other places like B&H. I think definitely. I've heard from Best Buy representatives that they basically got a preview of the new Fire TV ahead of yesterday's announcement. So definitely just from that, it sounds like you're going to be able to buy the new Fire TV from Best Buy. I would expect other places like Staples, for example, and B&H are probably going to also carry the new devices and the new hardware. Primary Force says, will the Harmony Smart Hub have the ability to control the new Fire TV? Yeah, definitely. Because the new Fire TV is capable of supporting the old Bluetooth remote. So the new, you know, at the very least, the Smart Hub can connect as a Bluetooth controller. You know, I don't know if it's going to be able to connect as a Wi-Fi controller. I doubt it, but, you know, you really don't need that for a device like that. So yeah, the Harmony, the Smart Hub will work. And for those who don't know, Harmony Smart Hub is a universal remote made by Logitech that can control a whole bunch of devices, including the Fire TV. I'll put a link in the description for more information on that. It's probably one of the best universal remotes for Fire TV owners out there. And yeah, it'll work with the new Fire TV just fine. Stank says also, when will Amazon TV get Twitch, a good Twitch app, which is owned by Amazon, or a Periscope viewing app? It seems that they always fall short in terms of app availability and app design. Yeah, I agree. So the Fire TV kind of suffers from the fact that the Amazon App Store is kind of the third tier app store. The Apple App Store is, you know, at the top, most developers go there first. Something like Periscope, for example, came to the Apple App Store first. Then they'll come to the Google Play Store for Android, and then eventually make their way to Amazon, just because Amazon is kind of the new player in this App Store game. Not to say that the Amazon App Store crew over at Amazon isn't doing a great job enticing developers over, you know, but it's just the way it is. I don't know about a Twitch app. I haven't heard anything about an updated Twitch app, but I definitely think Amazon is going to work on Twitch and kind of integrate that into things soon. One more question. He says, with an AFTV, would you prefer Wi-Fi around 150 to 300 megabit per second or Ethernet at 100 megabit per second? I would go with Ethernet personally. That's how I connect my devices, even though I've got a decent wireless connection going. I just like the stability, you know. With Ethernet, that connection is not going to go down. It's not going to get any interference. But with Wi-Fi, even if it's faster, it's going to get interference possibly here and there. And like I said, with streaming, 100 megabit is more than enough for streaming any content, pretty much. It's only when you're transferring big files back and forth that you kind of need that extra speed. Cheryl Jones says, I love the Roku because it has both micro SD slot as well as USB. The SD slot to expand storage and the USB for viewing personal content or hooking up an external hard drive. Dan says, in general, I think the remote is my biggest disappointment. Larger, not rechargeable, no personal listening, no IR universal programmable remote capability. Hopefully Amazon or aftermarket offers an alternative that addresses these shortcomings. Apple seems to have addressed these same issues. Yeah, it was kind of disappointing that the remote was not updated pretty much. You know, the guts were updated, changed to Wi-Fi, but as far as features, it was not updated. You know, like I said, I think that was a decision probably to keep the cost down. You know, the more features you add, like something like motion controls or a touchpad or an audio jack, the more options you add there, the more the hardware will cost to produce. And so Amazon might not have been able to hit that $100 price point. You know, maybe in the next one, since this one's kind of the 4K device, they concentrate on the actual hardware. Maybe the next one, they'll concentrate a little more on the controller. As far as aftermarket, I mean, we've already got pretty good aftermarket things going. You've got the SideClick coming out that kind of addresses the IR capabilities. You've got the Harmony remote that I just mentioned. That is kind of a universal remote that can control the Fire TV. So if you want more capabilities there, you've got support in the Fire TV for Bluetooth headphones. And so if you want that private listening, you've got there. So it's not a complete loss. You know, you've got a lot of third-party options for the Fire TV that kind of addresses all of these issues. As far as larger goes, it's only about a half an inch taller. And actually, I welcome that extra half an inch because, you know, the Fire TV remote is already so tiny as it is. I kind of like having that bigger remote. So a little half an inch might make a nice difference. Not rechargeable, you know. I mean, they claim that it'll last 12 months on a pair of AAAs. You know, it'll probably be a lot less than that, but with average use, it's probably going to be several months, over half a year, you know, at least. So it's not a big deal for me that it doesn't have internal rechargeable battery, you know, a battery. I kind of like being able to just pop in rechargeable AAA batteries into mine as opposed to waiting for the actual remote to recharge if it ever dies. HDMKV says, your thoughts on Fire TV 2 versus NVIDIA Shield? Latter is double the price, but seems the better box. NVIDIA's upcoming 2.0 update is expected to add 23.976 support HD audio and additional video codecs. The NVIDIA Shield is a very nice box. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not a diehard Amazon fanboy that I will, you know, always say the Fire, you know, Amazon's devices are more, you know, I will be the first one to point out when Amazon, you know, falls short or faults, you know, case in point when I, you know, bash them for what they did with Kodi and removing it and saying Kodi is a piracy app or promotes piracy. You know, that's BS. And I will not go and, like, you know, hide, you know, shortcomings from you guys as far as Fire TV or any hardware from Amazon. That said, the two devices are very similar now, you know, with both 4K capabilities. NVIDIA Shield has some really nice gaming aspects because they make their graphics cards. So if you've got a higher end NVIDIA graphics card in a PC, the NVIDIA Shield is very enticing because you can kind of remotely play your games there. For the general public, I say definitely the Fire TV over the NVIDIA Shield just because it does almost as much and a little bit more in some aspects, you know, like for example with Amazon Video, you're not going to get that on the Nvidia Shield. And just integration into Amazon ecosystem, that's kind of what attracted me to the Fire TV in the first place. I'm a heavy Amazon user. I've had Amazon Prime for years. I like Amazon Music. I store my own music into their cloud service. You know, it's kind of a no-brainer for me to get the Fire TV. But if you're not invested in the Amazon ecosystem at all, especially if you don't have Amazon Prime, yeah, I think the Nvidia Shield might be the way to go. It's a little more expensive, you know, especially if you're going to get the remote. You know, the remote's another extra $50. So yeah, like you said, it's double the price. Well, not fully double, because if you're getting a remote and the controller on the new Fire TV versus the Nvidia Shield, you're pretty close. You're just saving a little bit on the Fire TV. And you know, I think it's very much a capable device. If you're an audiophile, if you're, you know, a hi-fi, you know, tech geek, and you want that, you know, that 23.976 frames per second precision, you know, it looks like Nvidia is doing a good job updating things. I know after the Nvidia Shield launched, they released an update that added support for MPEG-2 video codec. You kind of need that for devices like the HD Home Run that kind of lets you watch cable DVR things from your Android devices. So Nvidia is doing a pretty good job supporting the device, adding these little kind of nuanced features that not the general public will use. Whereas the Fire TV is focusing on big general 500,000 people buying these devices, you know, type of features, what they're going to kind of use. Will G says, will there be a $50 discount for Prime members, kind of like there was a discount on the Fire TV Stick? Your initial post about Amazon officially announcing it claimed there was a $50 discount, but then you quickly removed it. Yeah, actually, that was a mistake on my part. So the Fire TV, new Fire TV announcement, I had pre-written it, you know, just so that when the announcement actually happened, I could just put it up really quickly, you know, let you guys know as quick as possible. Part of that pre-written one I had was I included the $50, or not a $50, but I included a discount for Prime members just because I kind of expected it, because we saw that with the Fire TV Stick, we saw that with the Amazon Echo. So I was actually expecting it with the Fire TV, but I guess the Fire TV is selling good enough to where they don't need to offer that Prime discount. You know, it's a bummer, but it is what it is. I haven't, you know, Me having it initially and then removing it isn't any kind of like hint or indication that I know something you guys don't know. Pretty much everything I know about the Fire TV I share with you guys. So if I knew about a discount coming up, trust me, I would put up that post and let you guys know, telling you, you know, hold off on buying. But haven't heard anything. And the fact that we didn't see a discount right now from day one means we're probably not going to see a discount for, you know, I'd say maybe 3 months or so. I mean, unless the device isn't selling well, then maybe they're going to put up a discount, but don't expect one anytime soon. The Fire TV Stick, for example, I think it was out for probably 8 or 9 months before we saw any kind of discount on that device. I mean, granted, it's a lower end device and it's priced rock bottom already, you know, at $39. Even then, it was only dropped to like $35 the first time it went on sale. So I definitely don't think we're going to see a $50 discount. And I don't think it's going to be a Prime only discount. The first time the new Fire TV goes on sale, it's probably going to be something like a $20 discount, maybe. And like I said, it's probably not going to be for 3, maybe 6 months down the line. I will say that your best bet probably for a new Fire TV discount is probably to wait for Staples, hopefully, if they start selling it. Staples often offers just generic coupons that kind of take $30 off of a $60 purchase, that sort of stuff. You can get those coupons, like you can buy them from eBay, Craigslist, that sort of stuff. That's usually the best way to get a discount on the Fire TV. A lot of times those coupons will exclude Kindle devices, but will not explicitly exclude Fire TV devices. So that's a good way to get a discount on the Fire TV if you're not in any rush. But again, that'll probably be a little bit down the line. Next question from Dan says, here's another thought on the remote. Offer the $50 6-inch Fire tablet instead of the standard remote for $125. It's actually a 7-inch tablet. I think you're referring to the brand new $50 Fire tablet. I actually don't like that thought. I think touch screens make horrible remotes, personally, in my opinion. I don't want to have to look down personally at a remote. And I think most people, they just want a remote to hold in your hand. You're usually looking at the screen when you're controlling your TV or any device that's connected to your TV. So I don't think we'll ever see a touchscreen based tablet style remote. I think the Fire TV app that Amazon released is basically primarily so that people with the Fire TV Stick that don't have a voice remote can use voice capabilities. And it's actually really great that they released that app, because now that the existing Fire TV Stick can support Alexa, those people who bought that device with non-voice remote, don't have to go out and buy a voice remote just to use Alexa, and they can now basically just use their smartphone to trigger Alexa. And with that, you don't actually even need to look at the screen because it's like a swipe up from the top. So there's no button you have to hit, which is, you know, again, that's probably why they did it that way, is because they know people don't like to look down on their device when they're controlling it. Wastate 2014 says, I'm really looking forward to your forum. I'll be fan number one. To my questions, I have used Fire OS 5 beta. Do you really think it is ready for Fire TV 2? It's very buggy on Fire TV 1. First of all, thanks for being excited about that forum. Obviously, I've been really busy this week, so I haven't been able to work on that forum. Plus, it might be a little bit delayed, unfortunately, because the original kind of forum software I was planning to use, I'm thinking of changing my mind there. So initially, I was thinking of doing a WordPress-based forum, which is the software that runs the site, the blog right now. But now I'm thinking of doing a dedicated, you know, kind of PHP BB-based forum, just because it's a lot better featured. I just need to figure out if there's a good way to integrate that into the current comment system that is running on the blog. I want to look into that before deciding on releasing the forum. So I know I've been talking about the forum for a while now, but more time there. As to your question, I think that developer preview that we got was a very early build of Fire OS. I have no question, there's no doubt that the final version that is released is going to be a lot more stable. Of course, you know, with any big update to the OS, certain apps might not work off the bat. You know, developers, you know, I mean, the purpose of the developer preview is to get developers to test their apps ahead of time to make sure they're ready. But, you know, a lot of developers are lazy. If an app doesn't work, I think the interface is going to be just fine. You're not going to have any problems there. But apps, you know, possibly Kodi, might not work right off the bat perfectly on Fire OS 5. I'll definitely test that and let you guys know. I'll put a link in the description and the show notes of this episode on how to block updates using your router if that's kind of a concern, if you want to wait to get word whether Kodi's going to work on Fire OS 5. But, you know, the Kodi guys are really good about, you know, updating things, and if there's any issues with Fire OS 5, I'm sure they'll get an update out pretty quick, hopefully. The other question is, do you think Amazon will offer Fire TV 2 owners a large discount on the SD cards we have to purchase after relocking the USB port for storage? In my case, 128 gigabytes for my games. It is going to cost me half the price. Like I said earlier, we don't know for sure that the USB port is locked. It might just be that Amazon is stating that it's not used for external storage just to prevent confusion, because you're probably not going to be able to plug both in. It might be one or the other. So we'll have to wait and see. I don't think there's going to be any kind of discount, you know, specifically for the Fire TV, you know, micro SD cards. Lewis, becoming a regular here on the podcast with your questions. Welcome. Lewis asks, hi, Elias. Your reporting on the AFTV 2 has been amazing and spot on. Yesterday must have been quite a crazy day. Thanks for all the great and hard work. I will be watching live tonight again. Thanks, Lewis, always, you know, for your questions, for your support. It has definitely been a crazy week. I mean, just in the last like 24 hours. So I got word, just a little insider info. I got word pretty late yesterday that the new Fire TV would come out around 2 a.m. Pacific time. And so, of course, I got just a couple hours of sleep and then was on at 2 a.m. just to make sure I don't miss the announcement. 2 a.m. comes, nothing, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and then it was right around, I think, 6 a.m. that Pacific time that the new Fire TV dropped. So, yeah, yesterday was pretty crazy. I think like around 7 p.m. I just crashed after, you know, covering as much as I could. And then woke up this morning and started it all up again. But, yeah, I really appreciate you saying that. And hopefully you guys have been enjoying my coverage. So Lewis says, Alexa will be available in the AFTV 1 as well, correct? Do you know as from when? This means I can talk to my AFTV via the remote, ask all kinds of things. And if I get the right smart plug, lamps, etc., I can tell him to switch things on, off. Is that right? Doesn't make this the Amazon Echo a bit less attractive? Looks like you can do the same now with the Fire TV as Echo, or am I missing something? How will it talk back to me via my connected TV? All the best, Ludwig. So yes, as I mentioned, the Alexa will come to existing devices, both the first generation existing Fire TV and all of the Fire TV sticks. So you will get Alexa. I know, Ludwig, I think you said you're in Denmark, is it? I forget. But I don't think Alexa's available actually outside of the US, unfortunately. If you're using a VPN and a US Amazon account, then yeah, you'll probably get Alexa. But if you're in the UK or Germany or using any one of those devices, you won't get Alexa. Because one thing you have to remember is that Alexa is a service. You know, it's not like a built-in feature that just lives on the device. It has to tap into a lot of services, you know, like sports, weather, all that stuff, general knowledge. You know, those are very geographic centric things, so that's kind of why we haven't seen Alexa released in the UK or overseas, Germany, that kind of stuff. Yes, you'll be able to talk into the remote, existing remote, voice remote, and just press the voice button and say Alexa this and that and get responses. So one thing that actually a lot of news outlets have wrongly been reporting with the Alexa capabilities that are being added to the Fire TV is the kind of smart home capabilities. Amazon has not said that the new Fire TV or the old Fire TV is going to be able to control, you know, smart devices like the Amazon Echo can through Alexa. It seems right now that you're not going to be able to, for example, turn on lights and that sort of stuff. I think that's because the Echo can detect those devices on the network, whereas the Fire TV maybe cannot. But again, I think those are features that are going to be added later once we get real heavy Alexa integration into the Fire TV. This first version of Alexa on the Fire TV is more of kind of like an add-on to the Fire TV as opposed to a replacement of the existing voice search. So you're going to get cards, you're going to get information, you're going to be able to look up things, but I don't know if you're going to be able to have Alexa interact with other devices outside, you know, on your network. So I don't think you're going to be able to turn on lights and control smart plugs and that sort of stuff. As far as the Amazon Echo becoming less attractive, I think something that non-Echo owners kind of don't give enough credit to is that always-on listening microphone that the Amazon Echo has. That feature is massive. I think that is the most important feature on the Amazon Echo, more so than just its capabilities. And so the Fire TV does not have that feature. There's no always listening. You can't just belt out a command randomly, you know, while you're walking around your house like you can with the Amazon Echo. You'll have to pick up the remote of your Fire TV, you'll have to press the button and speak into the remote, and like you were asking, how are you going to be able to hear the Alexa back? Your speakers are gonna have to be on. Your TV probably will have to be on if you get your audio from the Fire TV through your TV speakers. So that's how you'll hear it back. So it's not as convenient, the Alexa capabilities on the Fire TV. It's really nice to have, and it's going to be nice if you're just sitting there and you want to ask questions, that sort of stuff, you know, because more often than not, a lot of people have their TV on, even just in the background. So Alexa features there are going to be really handy, but there's still a very big difference between the Echo and the Fire TV. CD Lenfert says, can you speculate on whether or not the Fire TV stick will maintain the private listening feature that is currently working in the Fire OS 5 developer preview? I tested it last night and it's awesome. Would hate for it to vanish in the final public release. Yeah, I've been hearing about this. I haven't tried it myself, but so the private listening feature has not made its way over to the Fire TV stick, but with the Fire OS 5 preview, it is in there. It's possible this is kind of just something that was a leftover because FireOS was, the preview was kind of put out there for both devices at the same time. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's removed from the final Fire TV stick feature, but I've been told it works pretty well on the stick. So I haven't heard anything personally. I haven't heard anything from within Amazon. Next question, or three questions here from Kevin. Will new Fire TV support Dolby True HD and DTS HD Master Audio? I don't know. I haven't heard anything specific. I mean, I know Dolby Audio is listed as one of the specs of the new Fire TV. And I know the existing one supports DTS audio. I don't know about True HD audio and HD Master. I'm not too familiar with those myself, so I can't tell you for sure. Next question from Kevin is, will new Fire TV support 3D? Again, another one I don't know. I know there's no 3D content from Amazon or from streaming sources, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's not fully supported in there. Does Fire OS 5 have Google Cast native support similar to Nexus Player? Yeah, again, the Google Cast is not supported on the Fire TV and probably never will be, just mostly because of Google. So next question is from Dan. Any chance Amazon makes Kodi an official app like Google did? Any chance Amazon produces its own TVs with Fire TV built in, or dumb TVs designed for US with Fire TV? Drumstreet 1X says, I know it's probably too early and Stage Riot has been patched even on Fire OS 4. It's actually Fire OS 3. But any thoughts on rootability on the new Fire TV running Fire OS 5? I've got a meeting going until 2 p.m. Pacific. I'll hop onto the feed as soon as I'm gone. If you can hold off to discuss this till after 2. Well, it's after 3 now because we've been going long. So here you go. Thanks, Ayas, he says, for keeping us so informed on everything AFTV and Android TV. You're very welcome. Hopefully you are on and watching right now. You're not going to be able to root the Fire TV right off the bat. That's probably for sure. Still haven't heard anything about stage fright rooting any devices, really. We've heard some escalated privileges come out of stage fright, but not like a standalone rooting method strictly with stage fright on any Android devices, as far as I know. So we still haven't heard anything. Right now, sad to say, it's not looking like we're going to see a Fire TV stage fright root possibility. But anytime there's a new device released, it kind of spurs up new interest in rooting. So hopefully we'll see somebody tackle Fire OS 5 and come out with a root. But I haven't heard anything specifically. Tom says, heard anything as to whether Plex will get an update at all? It seems like Plex has been forgotten on the Fire TV. I'm not in contact with the Plex guys. I have heard that Plex has updated for Android 5.0. They have a pretty nice update there. Android 5.0's version of Plex got a nice update, and I think once Fire OS 5 is released and out in the public, we'll see a nice update come to Plex. I think the Plex guys are holding out on Fire OS 5 for some Android TV kind of lean back API features. All right, I think that will conclude episode 7 of the AFTV Newscast. Thanks for watching or for downloading the audio podcast version. I stream live every Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific. You can always get it the next morning on Saturday mornings on YouTube through iTunes as an audio version or through the RSS feed. Thanks to everybody who submitted questions. It was a big, long one. So yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at AFTV News. I tweet a lot of stuff there. I always tweet my articles there, but even more so, a lot of times I'll tweet information that I won't put into an article or something that I'm working on. When I found the code names on the new Fire TV, I kind of tweeted that out first to the people who follow me there. Thanks again for watching, for listening. Tune in next week for more Fire TV related news and check out AFTVnews.com, of course.